Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The lights are out.
Curry gets it. The lights go out.
The game is over. And we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Jokic with a handle, gets it to Hine. Hyler pulls up from 17. Back rim miss. Ball tipped by Jokic. Got it back. Blocked from behind. Gary Payton the second. Knocked it away. Here comes Wiggins in transition. Down the left side. Crossover right hand over to Otto Porter Jr. for three. Got it! Just like that, a quick six for Golden State, and Michael Malone calls timeout.
Yeah, one of seven timeouts taken for Michael Malone tonight. That's right. The Warriors forced him to take all of them and take all of them early in this one. I think he had six of the seven done with about 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. That's typically a good sign, and typically a sign that the opposition's going on a big-time run, and the Warriors, over the course of about a 19-plus minute stretch, a little under 20, put 70 on the board, flipped a 12-point deficit into a 20-point lead going to the fourth quarter. Warriors would lead by as many as 23, and they blow out the Nuggets 126-106. Inside Chase Center, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson with you here for the next hour as we talk about this one. And, man, kind of a similar game at first as the game on Saturday night. I thought the Nuggets were playing a little bit better in that first quarter. Warriors were up one at the end of the first quarter the other night, actually trailed by one at the end of the first quarter. Trailed by one tonight, up one at the end of the first quarter on Saturday, and then the Nuggets able to build that 12-point lead in the second quarter. It was 43-31, and kind of similar, eerily similar. Warriors got a couple of buckets, and then Steve Kerr at the 6:02 mark went to the Curry, Poole, Thompson, Wiggins, Draymond Green lineup for just about the duration of the half, and immediately a 4-0 run was turned into a 16-0 run, and the Warriors went from down 12 at that point to up 6 at the half. Overall, it was 26-8, and the last 22 of those 26 were the three-guard lineup with Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins. So the Warriors flipped it quick and then erupted in the third quarter. 44-30 dubs in the third, and you add all that up, and it wound up being, all told, a 70-point outburst for the Warriors as they were up 20 at the end of three. They win it by 20, and the Warriors now have a 2-0 series advantage in this one. 888-957-9570. A couple of things just to – Jordan Poole. I mean, my God, a star is born, part two for Jordan Poole in this series, as he goes for 29, 10 of 16 shooting. He's cooking. He's getting into the paint. He's knocking down crazy threes. He's dishing to teammates. And he's just absolutely rolling in this game and chasing what already was one of the great playoff debuts in recent memory for a young player, with another one in this game tonight. And then Stephen Curry, my goodness, 34 points, a plus 32. No concerns about the minutes restriction for Steph, because he only played 23 and he only needed to play 23. But his impact on this one was profound as he knocks down 5 3-pointers. And just the Warriors not only won the game tonight, but it felt an awful lot like the Warriors really almost stole the Nuggets' soul at different points in this ball game tonight. Poole just electrifying. Curry the 34 off the bench in 23 minutes. That 70-point stretch in under 20 minutes. Jokic frustrated. You got Gary Payton the second early on in this one, blocking Jokic's shot, then giving a little pat on the rear, maybe saying a little something to him. And Jokic more concerned about going after Gary Payton the second than trying to continue to hammer away at the Warriors on the interior. And the second night in a row where Jokic, even though he got to the free throw line a couple of times early in this one, and 8 for 8 overall for Jokic, it took him 20 shots to score 26 points. And he's a minus 26 tonight and a minus 49 for this series. So Jokic, frustrated, finally in the post, in the fourth, had a miss, and he had decided he had had enough. Tapped out, immediately went at the official, already had picked up a technical foul. Tech number 2, see you on Thursday in Denver. And I joked on Twitter during the ball game. It felt at times tonight almost as if the Warriors were hungry, hunting to try and end this series in 2 because of the back-to-back blowouts and the back-to-back games where it was as if Denver could hang in and trade punches at different points, close game after one, have a little bit of a lead mid-second. But again, Steve Kerr able to go to Poole and Curry and Thompson and Wiggins and Draymond, and they completely flipped the game. Same script as Saturday night. Warriors have the lead at the half, and then they blow the doors off the bad boy in the third quarter to win this thing by 20. Felt a lot like 2015-2016 Oracle tonight inside Chase Center. Another takeaway from this one: electrifying runs, defense, tempo, frustration from the other side. Steph Curry making a three here. Draymond Green dancing. Jordan Poole doing amazing things, making moves. I mean, it felt like the pre-Kevin Durant era Golden State Warriors inside this building tonight. It really did. And I think the word to use is a word that at times has been mocked when it's been brought up. Hell, it was even mocked by Kevin Durant from time to time. But it was joy. The Warriors were playing with joy. They were dancing all over their opponent. And there was just a reconnection, I think, to years past with this new wave of talent that the Warriors have that was just electrifying to everybody in the building. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game as the Warriors take the 2-0 series advantage back to Denver. So a couple of days to rest on this one. Tomorrow the Warriors take off in all likelihood with the 2 days in between games, and then they're going to head to Denver on Wednesday following a practice here in San Francisco. And game 3, 7 o'clock here Pacific time from Denver, and of course right here on 95.7 The Game. And they've got Denver talking about having to stick together and thinking about the embarrassment that the Warriors laid on them. You had DeMarcus Cousins and Will Barton going at each other on the Warriors bench. You had Draymond Green. Of course, Draymond Green immediately recognized what was going on. Didn't maybe recognize who it was. It was hard to tell from where I was sitting inside Chase Center who exactly was going at it, but you could tell there were two going at it, and it turned out to be Will Barton and DeMarcus Cousins because, of course, DeMarcus Cousins was involved in that, right? But it was Barton, it was Cousins, and Monte Morris after the ball game talking to the Nuggets reporters, saying plenty of voices spoke up in the locker room on the Warriors, as he put it, dancing and preening, bleeps embarrassing. Now, he could be talking about it's embarrassing for them to be getting their tails kicked at the level that it is, but he also could be taking a little bit of a shot at the Nuggets allowing themselves to have the Warriors playing so well that they're just embarrassing the team. Or Monte Morris. They're out there laughing, dancing around. We got to be tougher. So immediately, and it felt at times like maybe there was going to be a shot coming, maybe kind of a cheap shot or something coming. But I think at this point, as you start to look ahead to game three and beyond, the last stand is coming. But tonight makes you wonder if the Warriors maybe hit the Nuggets to the tune where you got to wonder how much fight they're going to have left. Look, no series truly begins until it shifts venues, and we're going to see that on Thursday night. But the Warriors made a hell of a case, and you could tell with Steve Kerr leaving the starters in, plus Curry, who came off the bench, and that three-guard lineup in, trying to see if he could maybe break and end the Nuggets for this entire series in game two. So 888-957-9570. Let's get to the phone lines here. John in Walnut Creek gets us tipped off on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, John?
Hey, appreciate you taking the call. Just wanted to say I'm not really that worried about the Eastern Conference, and I think this series is pretty much a done deal. But I will want to state for posterity that when we run into Phoenix, things are going to be very different. Jokic went for a double-double tonight, and that was fantastic. He was really bossing things down in the post. But he does not have the supporting cast in order to make that really impactful. And when DeAndre Ayton is going for the same numbers, when he's going for 25 and 12, and he has Devin Booker and other people around him to balance that out, it's going to be a real problem that we don't have an inside presence. And that is the one thing that terrifies me as a Warriors fan, and I just want to get it out there so that everybody knows that I had that thought back now.
All right, appreciate the call, John. John of Walnut Creek checking in. I think Steve Kerr would say, well, that big man isn't going to be playing in a situation like that because the Warriors' best lineup right now and the lineup that's won them two games against the Nuggets, even with Jokic on the floor, has been the lineup where Draymond Green plays center. And I think that answers the question for the whole year now. And we hadn't been able to see it because the Warriors hadn't had everybody. But this was always, I think, going to be in the cards as to how the Warriors wanted to finish games and why they didn't put a premium on going out and getting another big, even though at times it definitely hurt them in the regular season. How much capital do you want to spend to go get a big that isn't going to be playing because your best lineup is Curry and Poole and Thompson and Wiggins and Green? Now, I know there's times in games where you do need bigs, and hell, the Warriors still started Kevon Looney in the first couple of games of this series, even though he didn't play a lot. And John, you're right. The Suns are a different animal, and let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here. The Warriors have to win two more games in this series. I'm kind of with you, and I said it from the jump. I didn't think the Nuggets had enough over the long haul in this series to beat the Warriors, but it looks like maybe they don't have enough to even hang in it and potentially win more than one game, if any, at this point in the series. So, yeah. Much different opponents ahead for the Warriors. We'll see what happens between Memphis and Minnesota. Those two teams have more in the tank for sure than this Denver team does, and that's even with Jokic. But just the speed by which the Warriors can move the game to another level, he can't handle it. The Warriors are bringing him out and putting him in screen actions and getting whatever they want in terms of shots right in front of him from the perimeter. And there were back-to-back plays where he comes out not quite far enough, Warriors hit a three. Next time he comes out, overplays. I think it was Kevon Looney or was Wiggins maybe on a back cut. There's a back cut for a dunk. And it was timeout. It was just back-to-back plays where there was nothing to be had for the Nuggets defensively, and look, Jokic is a great player, but in a sped up game where there isn't enough ball pressure and wing defenders. I mean, that's another thing that the Nuggets really haven't. They don't have the wing defenders to really mess with the Warriors and that three guard lineup, and so Jokic has to be on the floor, so he has to be in the action. And that makes it easier to exploit him and the rest of this team defensively. But the Warriors, what they try to do against centers is basically speed the game up and make it where they're rendered ineffective, and they were able to do that really in both games of this series. Jokic, yeah, puts up some numbers, but they're phatic numbers. Minus 49, somebody's got to score. Different points in the game, he was controlling things. Nuggets had a little lead in both of these games, really. But when Steve Kerr's able to go to that lineup, the game flips, and then there's just not enough firepower. The game gets too fast, and it gets out of hand quickly. Jokic minus 49 plus the ejection in these first couple of games. So 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, following this one as he met with the media. Warriors get the job done tonight, 126-106.
Steve, now having played two playoff games inside Chase Center, how would you describe the advantage this team has playing in front of that home crowd?
Yeah, the crowd's been great. Energy's been fantastic. You know, I think the players have really executed well these first two games, followed the game plan, stayed solid, 9 turnovers tonight, you know, 27 assists. And the crowd feels it. You know, the crowd feels it when we're playing well, and we feed off of each other at that point.
So how would you describe watching Jordan? And we've talked about how he's a bright lights player, but this might that have been his best game? Was that some of the best stuff you've seen from him tonight?
Yeah. I mean, especially under the circumstances, given that this is a playoff game and the importance of the game, for him to follow up that game one where he was great with another game like this, some of the flurries out there from him tonight reminded me of his teammate who came off the bench a little bit. It's pretty remarkable to see the similarities now that you know, with both the on and off ball stuff. I mean, Jordan has had a pretty good apprenticeship with, you know, learning from Steph, and he was fantastic tonight.
Steve, how much does it help the offense to have two guys who can start at the perimeter and get to the inside the paint with their penetration, with the dribbling?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. You know, and we've been hoping to get to this point all year where we could get our whole group together just to see what that would look like. And I'm talking about with Draymond, with Clay, and Steph and Jordan. Wiggs has been a great part of that unit too. You know, these first two games, closing the first half, another 8 rebounds for Wiggs tonight. You know, I mentioned before the game, that's the biggest concern when we play that small unit is the glass. And I thought Wiggs did a really good job. Draymond, I don't know what to say about him. I mean, you just don't look at the stat sheet, because it doesn't mean anything. Draymond dominated that game, and he was dominating throughout the first half. And late in the half, I got a stat sheet. I looked down, he had 1.3 rebounds. He was dominating. So this guy is just one of the most unique and powerful and impactful players I've ever seen.
Well, you mentioned waiting to see that lineup, and particularly with that 3 guard lineup of Steph, Clay, and Jordan. We've been talking about that for a long time. When you first kind of sat down and with your staff and said, yeah, we're going to do a 3 guard lineup, is that what you envisioned it looking like, or is it more than?
Well, we've sort of played this way for many years, you know, with Draymond at 5, and we've had a few different variations of that unit, obviously with Kevin Durant, and before that Harrison Barnes, and you know, Andre Iguodala was always part of that group. So you know, Clay, Steph, and Draymond are incredibly comfortable playing this style. It's the same style. It's just, you know, different additions with this squad. So I never envisioned Jordan playing this well, you know, at the beginning of this season, even though he had a great season a year ago. I couldn't envision this, but he's earned it. This guy puts the work in every single day in the gym and believes in himself, and he's got a lot of skill.
You got 23 minutes out of your 6th man. What do you think of the way he played?
It didn't surprise me, because we've been watching this for a long time with Steph. So you never really are surprised when he has an outburst like that. It's great to see. Obviously, you know, just coming back and being on a minutes restriction, you know, the other night he had to kind of get his feet wet. But you could see as the game went on, game one I'm talking about, he got more and more comfortable, and you could see tonight he was ready to break up.
Going back to Draymond, what do you think about his defense specifically on Jokic? Because Draymond said he sort of expected a counterpunch, Jokic 40, 15, 15, but Draymond played a role again in frustrating Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic is amazing, and we have to throw everything at him to try to limit him. And that's, you know, I thought Loon did a great job early on. You know, he picked up a couple early fouls, but was battling him. And then Draymond took his turn. Belly had a few possessions on him. I think, you know, all we're trying to do is defend him without fouling and crowd him and you know, try to put as much pressure on him as possible, because he's just a brilliant player. So skilled that you can't just sit back and let him pick you apart.
Speaking of Jokic, the Peyton block came pretty early on when Jokic was going pretty good. It seemed to frustrate Jokic, or maybe something Peyton said to him frustrated him, but it seemed like Jokic, well, he got thrown out of the game too. What, not that you're trying to irritate him, but did you, and was Peyton a big part of that?
Well, Gary's a fantastic defender. I thought he played really well tonight. A lot of ball pressure. You know, he blocked a couple shots. He's in the fray all the time. He's so athletic that, you know, he's out there getting deflections, getting steals. It's, he makes a real impact on the game. He's done that all year.
You mentioned Wiggins' importance, defensively in that unit, you know, particularly on the glass. How about offensively? He's kind of is the fifth of the players, probably usually stationary in the corner. But how important is him to hit threes, but also slash when they kind of ignore him?
He's a really complimentary part of that group. He made a couple threes early when we were struggling, which was important. And then if you think about that unit with Jordan, Steph, Clay, I mean, they draw so much attention that Andrew's going to get some hoops, some space to drive. And you saw it in game one, not as much tonight because the guys were making shots. They were letting it fly before Wiggs even touched the ball. But I think he understands that, you know, great spot for him. He's played a huge role for us all year at both ends, and he's a plus 24 tonight. He's doing his job, and I think he's really enjoying it too.
10 steals accounted for 18 of the turnovers that you guys forced, and you capitalized with 25 points. I mean, what does that say about just every guy in every position, you know, doing the work?
Just felt like we were getting a lot of deflections out there. You know, we were really active, and we were just trying to speed the game up, but, you know, not turn the ball over as well. And I thought I liked that balance, that we were able to, you know, speed the game up with our defense, but then make pretty good decisions offensively and take care of the ball, not let them get out in transition too much.
Hey, Steve, given who Steph is and what he means to the team, was there much of like a sales pitch to embrace this role off the bench, or has he been just rolling with the punches? How did you characterize it?
Steph is Steph. You don't need to sell him on anything. You know, he's very unique. He's incredibly humble and incredibly arrogant on the floor, you know, humble off the floor, arrogant on the floor. It's a great combination, and anything that is going to help the team, he's all for. We always collaborate. We talk about everything, and it's just very matter of fact with Steph. You know, there's never any ego that gets in the way. You know, Greg Popovich likes to talk about, you know, the importance of getting over yourself. If you want to be on a great team, you want to be part of something special. And, you know, Steph, it's just the way he was raised. He didn't even have to get over himself. He was already over himself when he arrived in the NBA. And he's maintained that humility despite this incredible stardom and incredible success he's had, and it's what makes him such a powerful teammate.
Obvious answer, but just for the record, will Steph definitely be starting very soon?
We'll see.
Okay, follow up. Is Jordan Poole going to take technical free throws from now on?
They have to hash that out. Yeah, I don't make that decision.
A little bit of insight there. They hash it out. All right. Steph and Jordan Poole. And yeah, how about Steph tonight with the technical free throws, missing a couple of them, 5 of 7 overall. But that was really the only negative for Steph tonight, 34 points in under 23 minutes. And Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area had tweeted this out. I guess it was via Elias as well. Curry, the first player in the shot clock era to score 30 points in as little as 23 minutes in a playoff game. So pretty incredible stuff from Stephen Curry, as always. Couple of text messages to get to momentarily. We got the move of the game coming up as well. But let's get Philmo Mike in here on 95.7 The Game. Philmo, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Hey, JD. I'm doing great, man. Hey, I'm in heaven. Jokic is the truth. Like, he's really very, very good. I think he should win MVP. Draymond go crazy. Like, his defense on Jokic, I ain't gonna lie, is like Rodman-like. So I praise Jokic the first time. But Draymond, his defense was going crazy. And I also, I got two more points, JD. Give me some seconds. It's crazy how, especially within our crowd, Poole, you got three players. You got Poole, Curry, and Klay Thompson that, like, they could generate momentum as if they're, like, GP2 or, like, bench players. Like, the momentum in the crowd go crazy. You know what I'm saying? And then also, the last thing I want to say, JD, I know I'm going on, but it's key to draft your own players, because when you draft your own players, the people feel the experience and they journey so much more, so that when they're at the game at Chase Center, they really, like, they're screaming because it's the player that they watched 2-3 years ago. And they thought that he was going to be nothing, and now he's doing all these crazy things. Whereas if you just get somebody from somewhere else, their appreciation ain't there, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Great win tonight. I'm sorry for rambling.
No, you're good. You're good, Philmo. Philmo Mike checking in. 888-957-9570. No, a couple of things there. It's homegrown players. And look, the Chase crowd, the Oracle crowd, the one thing they have in common is they love players with swag, period. And most crowds do, but especially over at Oracle over the years, and it still rings true at Chase, the Warrior fan base loves swag. They love Curry putting somebody in the blender and you know, cooking a big man, hitting a three right in his eye, or going by somebody and making him drop and then kicking it out to the other guy who's going to fire a three. And Jordan Poole has got that swag. Jordan Poole's got that in his game. And that's why I think that, yeah, homegrown's part of it. You know, look like his career as a rookie, as much as it's silly to really, you know, get too deep down that path, was going down a road where he might have some struggles. And even last year, you know, goes down to the G League, comes back. He's a different guy. He's really been a different guy since. And he's handled the downs. Like, that's the thing I give Poole a lot of credit is, you know, he didn't play well, and then he went to the G League, and he came back, and he played well. And then he ran into some struggles toward the end of last year, but then he finished strong and was able to play well in the play-in games. It hasn't all been rosy all the time this season, even though he played very well at the beginning of the year in that starting role for Klay Thompson. So, you know, he gets credit there. But then he went through a little time at the end of February where he wasn't starting, and Moses Moody was getting starts, and it was kind of, why, what's going on? You know, players are out, and he, you know, Steve Kerr at one point, we're going to leave him in the bench role, and he, I don't think he was feeling that, but he worked his way through it, and then Steve Kerr rewarded him when Curry went down with the starts, and now he's even rewarded him with the first couple of games of this series getting starts. And let's just be honest, at some point, I don't know when, at some point, though, the Warriors are going to start Steph and Poole and Klay and Wiggins and Draymond at some point, whether it's, you know, the remainder of this series, whether it's in the series against Memphis or Minnesota or Phoenix, at some point they're just going to go to it and try and use it to end those teams as well. Couple of calls here. Coach in Los Altos is next on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, JD. So I'm going to be brief because I lost my voice there tonight. It was loud. You know, I was at Oracle back in the We Believe, and it felt like that. It was off the charts. And it got, you know, the one thing I'm concerned about is how chippy it got. like Morris, he's kind of a punk, and he's talking trash. Highland's talking trash. Of course, Cousins, Jamichael Green. Like, I just don't want him to send a message, quote unquote, and hurt one of our guys, because I think, you know, your summary was awesome. It was just joy. I don't think they were throwing it in their face. They were just having a blast. And I just think they're just getting so angry. I just don't want one of our guys to get hurt. I want to win this series and get out and go beat up either Minnesota or Memphis. But I'll take your call. Great show, JD.
Yeah, appreciate it. And look, here's the thing. Like, yeah, I don't think the Warriors were rubbing Denver's nose in it, but anytime you're dominating an opponent like that and they're fighting each other and Jokic is frustrated with the officials and whatever, like anytime that happens, you're right, Coach. It does get chippy, it does get edgy, and you know, Monte Morris said it, and I read some of the quotes, you know, Michael Malone, you know, the past two games, you know, inability to sustain playing at a high level. A couple of quotes from Monte Morris about the dancing and the preening, and you know, it called it embarrassing. Got to, you know, not going to give themselves a bleeping chance if they fall apart and come apart at the seams as a team. But here's the thing: as you forward to Thursday, the series isn't over, and you know, there is one last stand that Denver has, and it's to try and win Thursday and get it to 2-1, and then you worry about Sunday if you're them. But I do think you're going to see, based on the Nuggets and them feeling some kind of a way right now, I do think there's a potential to see extra edge, extra intensity. So you got to go win the series. You're only halfway done in this series. So Dino, I'm going to get you in here before the top of the hour in San Francisco. What's going on, Dino?
Yo, hey, what's happening, JD? Voice is a little hoarse. Just left the game. Man, I haven't felt a vibe like that, dare I say it, since Oracle, We Believe, and the championship run. And in fact, it's kind of interesting watching this lineup, which I'm going to share a moniker with shortly, but they almost look like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals there for a second, right? Like the passes, the free flow, the joy. It was a beautiful thing to watch. Got to bring my sister for her birthday. Shout out, Asia. But this lineup, man, shout out to this guy on Twitter, Three Ball Pool, because I didn't take it, but I love it. These Warriors are given, they're going to be given these vet teams PTSD. Pool, Thompson, okay. Steph, and Dre. You can even throw in Wiggins, because it's a dub PTSD. Got to promote that, JD. I'm out.
I like that one. I like that one. I actually like that one a lot. 888-957-9570. That might be the best one I've heard to this point, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, the ball was moving around. It felt like in the 14-15-15-16 seasons tonight. And that's a big time shot across the bow for the remainder of the NBA and whoever the Warriors are going to face in the playoffs. All right, quickly here before we pause, let's get our move of the game brought to you by Good Green Moving.
Draymond, left sideline, directing traffic as always, finds Curry, good pump fake on Jamichael Green, steps out for a three, it's good, and a foul! Curry jumping up and down in celebration, counts 1, 2, 3, gets a high five from Draymond, and the Warriors have a chance with another 4-point play in this game.
Yeah, a couple of 4-point plays for the Warriors. That's your move of the game, which is brought to you by Good Green Moving. Visit goodgreenmoving.com and download the free Good Green app today for your local and long-distance moving and storage needs. Good stuff there. One of a couple of 4-point plays for the Warriors in this one as they beat the Nuggets tonight. 126-106. We'll come back. We'll hear from Draymond Green. Still time for some phone calls. John Dickinson, inside Chase Center on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little
or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Curry, behind the back, comes to the right, gets to the foul line, spins, goes up with a scoop, it's up and good! Curry between two defenders. Warriors retake the lead. Timeout, Denver! How good must that have felt for Stephen Curry? A 13-0 push for Golden State in 2 minutes and 52 seconds. And it's our first lead change of the night. Warriors 44, Nuggets 43.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
It was the first lead change of the night, and it was the only lead change of the night because the Warriors at that point had come from 12 down. They had the lead. They'd push it all the way up to 23 and wind up winning by 20 inside Chase Center, 126-106. John Dickinson with you. 888-957-9570. 2-0 series advantage for the Warriors as they'll head to Denver on Wednesday with Game 4 to be played at Ball Arena in Denver on Thursday. Game 4 on Sunday afternoon. Of course, we got you covered here on 95.7 The Game for all of that. So a couple of text messages to get to here. 888-957-9570, the Xfinity mobile text line. 415, GP2, man, he plays Joker hard. Always see him blocking his shot and bothering him. That was the third time this year that Gary Payton II has blocked Jokic's shot. And then he gave him a little something after. Gave him a little something, like a little pat on the rear, like hang with him. And that was the first indicator that the Warriors were starting to get inside the Nuggets' head a little bit. Second indicator that the Warriors are starting to get in the Nuggets' head a little bit is Will Barton and DeMarcus Cousins on the Nuggets' bench. And Draymond Green picked it out immediately, went out to half court during the timeout, imploring the crowd. We're going to hear from Draymond here in just a second. And Draymond addressed that among many other things. But, yeah, that was indicator number two, that the Warriors were in the Nuggets' head. And indicator number three is the frustration of Nikola Jokic and getting himself ejected from the game. He'd had enough. He tapped out. And he was frustrated. He got some calls early. He was missing some shots that he typically makes. But I think you got to give you got to give Philmo Mike the credit with the defense that was being played on him, a la Dennis Rodman. I mean, it was that level of intensity, physicality, just energy, just veracity everywhere. Just tremendous, tremendous stuff. And he frustrated Jokic to the point where a guy that in all likelihood was going to be a backup MVP or a two-time back-to-back MVP basically tapped out. 5-1-0, when Campazzo came in, I got nervous. Thankfully, they got the regulars out of the game real quick. Yeah, there was definitely a thought, and I was going back and forth with Steiny, as we often do during these games via text, and there was a thought. I think at one point, we got a Warriors Weekly podcast that's going to drop tomorrow right around 11:30 or so. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, at some point, you know, there was such an edge and a frustration that you kind of think to yourself, and I think Steiny was saying, hey, if the Nuggets have any kind of self-respect, any kind of fight, it's going to be on Thursday night like that. And look, you get down 0-2, you go home, it's a must win, because nobody's coming back from 3-0 down, especially this Nuggets team against this Warriors team. So the Nuggets season is on the line. Anytime the series shifts from the favorite venue to the underdog venue, that's always their one chance still remaining to maybe make some kind of a series out of it. But at this point, the Warriors have had every answer in the big moments right before halftime. The final 4 to 6 minutes before the half have been when the Warriors have won both of these games, and they've done it with the three-guard lineup with Steph and Clay and Jordan Poole and Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins out there. Steve Kerr, a couple of quick thoughts on just what Steve Kerr had to say, and then we'll hear from Draymond. Wiggins, he gave Wiggins a nod, and Wiggins, you know, he's the forgotten guy in both of these games, but as a positive, he's a forgotten guy. 13 points, and Steve Kerr pointed out the 2 3-pointers that he knocked down. And when the Warriors were not playing well, when they were struggling, when things could have been worse, and that was sort of where I was coming from in the first half of this one. Was I was thinking, you know, the Warriors could have got, as much as they were down, they always had quick answers, and a lot of times they had quick answers because of the three ball. And you look up at the end of the night and they wind up 17 of 40 from 3-point range. And I think at one point they were 5 of 13, I want to say, at one point in this one. And yeah, you look at it, they were 8 for 20 at one point. So they wound up, I guess, 9 for 20 at the end. Yeah, they were 5 for 14 at the end of the first quarter. So that was the marker. 5 for 14 at the end of the first quarter. So they were 12 for 26 over the final three quarters. So over the final three quarters, the Warriors basically just a tick under 50% from three. And a lot of that got rolling in those final 6 minutes. Let's get Dirty on the phone lines at 888-957-9570. What's going on, Dirty?
So far, so good, man. Hope you're doing well. Sounds like we all doing well right now. But to point out what I was seeing in game one and what I wanted to see before the playoffs started was tipping out rebounds. I made this a big point, and I told all my friends, watch this. If this happens, it'll work, because we can't come down with those balls around big guys down low. We're going to have to tip them out, collective unit, everybody running to the ball. You see how Otto Porter followed his miss? You have a good notion of where your ball's going to go if it's a little off when you let it go. And I love the way he chased that down. It was huge. In the game one, Denver was pounding us down low, but we had 20 second chance points off of the tip, off of the hunger, just off of the collective unit going at it together. And that was huge to me, because as small as we are, and I never count us out, because Draymond Green's a silverback and he could get busy with anybody. He could be down low with anybody bumping bodies. I don't ever doubt Draymond if he's 100% or if he's in the zone. I put my money for him to lock down anybody. Now, the thing that I wanted to point out last was today they out-rebounded us, but it's because Jokic got like 8 rebounds in 2 possessions down low, and he was just missing, getting his rebound. But I still see the hunger. Everyone's tipping the ball. If they can't come down with it, they're tipping it to somebody who's open. All the messy plays are going our way because we're hustling, and that's huge too, especially in these playoffs. But I love the grit. I love the way they played. We're really organized, and we had some fancy passes in between. I love it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dirty. And yeah, Draymond sets that tone. I think Wiggins has set that tone, and I think collectively you look at, and I did this after game one, you just look at the overall and the Warriors did get out-rebounded tonight, but you look at the overall. Wiggins had 8. Poole had 5. You had Gary Payton II who had 5. Otto Porter had 4 off the bench. Curry had 3. Draymond had 3. And then you had a couple with 2. Bielitsa had a couple, and Klay Thompson had a couple. But yeah, you go through and everybody's pitching in and everybody's trying to get, and that's what has to happen if you're going to play that small ball lineup. Before we hear from Draymond Green, just real quickly here, wanted to touch on Andre Iguodala and his injury that popped up before the game, as Iguodala showed up late on the injury report tonight and with some neck soreness. And so he wound up out for this ball game tonight, had been listed as doubtful as everybody showed up to the arena. And so the question was, how would Steve Kerr handle it? And he said it without saying it, I thought, in the pregame media session. He said, well, we could add somebody else to the rotation, or, you know, there's plenty of minutes to where you could fill them with the players that the Warriors had. And that wound up being exactly what Steve Kerr did tonight. So it was a 9-man rotation after a 10-man rotation. And here's where the Warriors really do have an advantage now in terms of being able to rest and recover. And that's the fact that they've got a couple of days now here in between games to get everybody back, to make sure Curry's feeling good, to make sure Klay Thompson's feeling good, to make sure that Iguodala can get a couple of days to get himself feeling good, and then you can run it back on Thursday night at altitude. All right, 888-957-9570. Brian in Los Gatos, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Brian.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, man.
First, I just want to say I was at the game tonight, and the arena was pretty electric. It's not quite to Oracle standards, but I think it's a good environment. That moment when Draymond kind of got the crowd fired up, it had moments of Oracle. But I just wanted to say I really think Mike Malone is one of the best coaches in the league, and I really respect him, but he's totally handcuffed without Porter and Murray. And Kerr is just running circles around him as far as his in-game coaching and what they're doing with Jokic and kind of trying to let everyone else beat him. And you got Gordon going for 8 in the first game, 7 for the second game. And so that's not going to do it. So that's what I wanted to say first. And second, I think we need to come up with a name for the new death lineup was already taken, and that was the old team. And so they need a new lineup name, because the Wiggins, Poole, Curry, Thompson, and Draymond lineup is plus 28 in 2 games and 10 minutes in 2 games. So, I mean, Curry's doing
it's one of both games.
Not really. What's that?
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Yeah, it's one of both games. That group has won them both of these games in this series, just flat out. 888-957-9570. Look, the Nuggets don't have enough. I mean, bottom line, that really the conversation at this point is, can the Nuggets win a game? I mean, they're coming apart at the seams. Jokic is really frustrated. The question on the other side right now is, can they hold it together and show enough fight to get a win on Thursday night and not get swept? I mean, that's just the reality of the situation on the other side of the aisle. As far as looking toward next year, yeah, Michael Malone's a terrific coach, and he said it after the game, the fact that, you know, to beat the Warriors, you got to play close to perfect basketball. And he said in his post-game session that the past 2 games, that it's been an inability to sustain playing at a high level, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, plain and simple, that's what it was. Because the Nuggets haven't been all bad. Aaron Gordon's been pretty terrible. Jeff Green hasn't provided much in either game. Bones Highland, eh. I mean, really, it's been Will Barton and Monte Morris and Jokic, and nobody else has really done much for the Nuggets. But that's because they got a lot of bench players that are up a couple of pegs in the pecking order as far as the rotation goes, because they're out without their second and their third best players. All right, let's hear from Draymond Green. We'll get you a shot of the game. We'll call it a night here. Let's hear Draymond after this one.
In the third quarter, you know, you ran out the half court, was getting the crowd live. Can you take us through that moment and what you saw down on the Denver bench?
I just saw them arguing. I wasn't sure who was arguing, but somebody's down there arguing. The crowd should notice that, and they should be very loud for that. And how took me a while to get them loud. That was disappointing.
And how fun was a game like this? I mean, we saw you dancing out the free throw line late in the fourth quarter.
It was very fun. You know, when you beat a team the way we did the first game, they come out and they give you their best punch. And they did that. And, you know, we took the punch on the chin. We responded right away. We got control of the game. Pretty much started at maybe the last couple minutes of the first quarter, and I think we had control the rest of the game. So, you know, just to see our group respond the way they did, the way we did, that's special. You know, that's a very good team. That's not some slouch pushover team. They have a very good group around an incredible player. And, you know, we took their best punch and we responded. And I thought that was great.
That lineup broke it open again in the same part of the game, late second. What did you like? I mean, we talked yesterday just about kind of the defensive identity you wanted to build. What did you like about that, those 6 minutes?
I thought we swarmed. You know, I think there were a couple loose balls that we could have come up with that we didn't come up with. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we spoke about with that lineup, is we should be able to get deflections. And when we get deflections, we have to push, you know, push the ball and try to make them keep up with that pace. And I think, you know, for the most part, we did a pretty good job. You know, they got some offensive rebounds, which, you know, that's what you're going up against when you do go that small is the rebounding. But I thought we did a good job of cleaning that up. But early on, I thought they had too many offensive rebounds. And that was on me. Joker was getting the offensive rebound. So when battling a big guy like that, it's important that our guards come back in and get the rebound. But it starts with me keeping him off the glass and giving him a chance to come clean up the rebounds. And I didn't do a good job of that early. He was able to get some offensive boards. And what, he finished with 5 offensive rebounds. I think all 5 of them might have come in the first half. So if I do a better job there, give our guys an opportunity to clean up the rebounds, then I think that lineup gets even more dangerous.
Draymond, what's it like to be on the ball or even off the ball when you have Steph and Jordan both kind of getting their thing?
It's passer's paradise for me. You got Steph and Clay. I mean, Steph and Jordan kind of, they roam differently than Clay. You know, theirs is more just kind of fluid and, you know, you have to keep an eye on them because they're moving all over the place. Clay's a little different. You know, Clay is going to roam when it's time for him to get to a spot for a shot. And so with those two guys, it's a little different than reading with Clay. But nonetheless, you got those 3 guys out there at the same time. For me as a passer, that's heaven. And then, you know, the one weak shooter out there around me with that group is Wiggins. I think he shoot like 37% from 3 or something like that. And I'm live with Wiggins shooting that 3. So for me, you can't ask for anything more on the offensive end, any more options than that. I like it a lot.
What are the things that you observe on the court that signal to you you are demoralizing an opponent?
I mean, you just kind of read body language and frustration. You know, frustration usually shows up in body language. That's just kind of what I try to read. You try to read interactions with teammates and how someone's reacting to their teammates. And, you know, if you feel like you're getting under the skin, you press up a little more. If you don't feel like you're getting under the skin, you press up a little more. So just try to do my job.
Hey, Draymond, in lieu of Jordan not being part of the finalist list for most improved, do you got your petition ready to go?
Yeah, it's coming. It's definitely coming for sure.
What was your reaction once you saw the list?
I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked at all.
Can you expand a little more on that initial Jesus reaction when you just look down and see Steph's stat line? What did you think of his play tonight?
He was incredible. 22 minutes plus 32, that's insane. But I thought his patience was great. They did a great job of trying to take the pocket away, because we got the best of them in the pocket that first game. And so they did a great job of trying to take that pocket pass away. And early on a little bit, we struggled with it. When Steph came in the game, he just drove until they stopped him. And the big was kind of shaded towards me to take the pocket away. So he just kept driving them. And I think that broke their defense down. And once he started doing that, you know, now you got him into the paint, kicking out and flying back off for threes. That's when Steph Curry is at his most dangerous off the ball. And so I thought the way he came in and settled our offense down, I mean, it's what you expect of Steph Curry, but I thought that was huge. And, you know, like I said, to be plus 32 in 22 minutes, 23 minutes, it doesn't get much better than that.
You've played with some incredible offensive lineups, you know, Steph, Clay, KD together. But what makes this trio of Jordan, Clay, and Steph so tough for defenders to match?
Jordan is doing some of the same stuff Steph does, and that's tough. I mean, you know, you're going to game plan for Steph, you're going to game plan for Clay, but, you know, now you got a game plan for Jordan, and that's a different beast. You know, you're trapping Steph. Okay, well, if you're trapping Steph and you got Jordan on the floor too, it's hard to trap two guys. You swing the ball to the second side, and, you know, big's going to get back, and, like, that's tough. And so I think, you know, he's been watching Steph a lot, and he's doing his best impression, and it is incredible.
We watched.
It really is incredible, and you're right. I mean, Draymond and Steve Kerr has said it. I mean, he is playing in a lot of the same actions that Steph Curry's playing in, and the shots are going down. That's been the biggest change, has been the fact that the shots are going in for Jordan Poole and the three-point shot. I know Anthony Slater, The Athletic, had pointed that out. He'd been right around that 32 to 35% range, but it's been up over 42% since the 1st of March, and that's what's made the whole thing just all the more dynamic. And you just look bouncing around at the shot chart, 2 of 2 from the right wing from three, he knocked down one in the corner, 2 of 6 out top, but where he really, really hit it was 4 of 5 at the paint, you know, at the basket and in the paint. All right, let's get quickly here to our shot of the game presented by the County of Santa Clara.
Poole takes it right side, drives on Cousins, stops, backs up to the corner, shoots a fadeaway. Oh. He checked three! Jordan Poole! Get out your Speedo! Get the suntan oil! We're having a pool party!
Big-time pool party, Tim Roy on the call with Tom Tolbert. And, yeah, heat check three for Jordan Poole. One of those threes that he knocked down in this one, the 2 of 2 from the right wing variety, and that is your shot of the game for tonight, presented by the County of Santa Clara. Book a COVID-19 booster shot now at sccfreevax.org, or you can call 211. Before we call it a night, let's go ahead and hear a couple of minutes from who wound up being one of the men of the night for the Warriors, Steph Curry, 34 in 23 minutes, and he addressed the media downstairs here earlier at Chase Center.
4 minutes left in the second quarter. You hit, kind of split Jokic and Monty, hit a layup, and you were running back, and you were yelling, "I'm back." What in that moment made you kind of feel that was the moment to proclaim you are back, and just what were you feeling in that moment?
You're just starting to find a rhythm, like first game, missing that much time, coming off the bench, trying to get used to the speed of the game again, and somewhat impactful first game, but didn't really feel like normal, like you had the real flow. And then next, you know, the first half, I had a little pep in my step and body felt good. Was able to kind of get to some spots, and you make certain shots, it feels a little different, feels a little bit more normal, and more emotion kind of comes out, especially, you know, that with that layoff. So it was a nice feeling.
Steph, you look to be, I guess, determined to get to the rim, especially when you had, you know, the lineup out there. How much of that was you saying, "I want to get inside because we can," and how much of that was just the floor so spread, the lanes just look wide like that?
It's just trying to be decisive where we're getting. There were a couple of possession at the end of the second quarter. where I forced up a little tough, like sidestep to the right shot. And I was thinking about that for a long time, just because, like you said, the floor was a lot, it was spaced. There are a lot of driving angles. Even if you're not the one going to be finishing, that's when the reactions from the defense starts. And, you know, we have so many shooters and playmakers out there. You kind of have to make them pay. That's where all the flow starts to happen. That's where all the good, you know, open shots. And we love to play that way, and it's demoralizing for a defense. So just trying to be very decisive on, like, don't force anything, because if you get, you know, attack to the lane or a swing, you get them to react, somebody's going to be open, and you just knock them down.
What are your thoughts on watching Jordan specifically, like, get to the basket? And you know how difficult it is, but he seems to have a way about him where he can wiggle and get to the cup. How impressed are you with your protege's ability to do that?
That's always been a part of his game. It's just about picking and choosing the spots and, you know, understanding how teams are going to guard him and pick and roll. Again, taking advantage of the space that's out there. But teams have to respect his jumper and how lethal he is, you know, kind of pulling up, that he can get guys to press up on him and he can blow by him. And he's obviously got a quick first step, and he's pretty crafty with his finishes, right hand, left hand, all different type of angles. It's tough to guard, especially if you have shooter space on either side of him. And the beauty is that he's been able to balance all of it, the shooting, the driving, and then, like, you know, setting up guys with some crazy passes and getting everybody involved. Like, that's another evolution of his game. It's not just the scoring. It's picking and choosing your spots and making defenses pay if he gets a little extra attention.
Steph, Draymond said when he feels he's getting under somebody's skin, he just presses even more. And do you sense that he's getting to Jokic? And also, did you have a feeling you guys could make so many deflections and get the steals that you got tonight?
He loves a challenge. Draymond loves a challenge. And we understand that it's not like you're going to just shut Jokic out. You know, you're not going to keep him in single-digit scoring. He's an MVP of the league last year. See what happens this year. Like, it's a thing where you just make him work for the entire course of the game and try to, you know, like you say, frustrate him as much as possible, try to make things difficult. Even if he scores, you want everything to be difficult. And that's what Draymond loves about this matchup is – he still had 26 and 11-4, but it's how you get that. And that's where we can then turn that into good momentum for our side. Draymond stays engaged. He makes them pay on the other end of the floor. And we all have to do our job, you know, behind him. But in that one-on-one matchup, nothing's going to be easy. If you're going to score, you got to earn it. And that's Draymond's MO.
Steph, there were a lot of memorable sequences with that three-guard lineup tonight, but was there maybe one in particular that kind of stood out? Did you have kind of like a favorite?
I can't pick one, but it's just that feeling when everything starts to click and how fast we can play, and we still only had 9 turnovers, so like there are a lot of, you know, back-to-back-to-back plays where it's kind of pick your poison and everybody was kind of getting involved, so I can't pick one. It's just that it's that emotion, that feeling, that momentum we were able to create. Got the crowd into it. You could tell it was affecting them on the other side. Every time out, you look down, they're trying to figure something out. So that's playoff basketball in terms of you can get a team to have to worry about so many different things. Like, makes the game a little easier.
Yeah, the Warriors are able to really take advantage of a lot of the Nuggets' weaknesses and also play to their own strength, their newfound strengths with the three-guard lineup and with the shortened rotation and the combination of some of these younger players, Jordan Poole in particular, with mainly a veteran-laden rotation. But yeah, the Nuggets just have not been able to pressure the Warriors. Warriors have been able to speed the game up, and the job that Draymond Green has done against Nikola Jokic, second to none. So up next for the Warriors is Game 3 series shifting to Denver for Game 3 and Game 4 Thursday and Sunday. Of course, we'll have both of those for you here on 95.7 The Game. And the best shot is coming. It does always get progressively more difficult as the postseason rolls on, and the Warriors certainly know that through their run to 5 consecutive NBA Finals and winning 3 championships. This series, while it feels and looks tonight like it's over, things can change very quickly if the Nuggets get a win on Thursday, and then Sunday becomes a very, very big game. And oh, by the way, this is only round one of four required to win a championship. So long, long way to go, but I don't think you could look at the first two games for the Warriors overall with everything that they're trying to get on the same page with and think anything other than the fact that it's just been a rousing start for this team on their journey to 16 wins and trying to win an NBA championship. All right, that's going to do it for me. Thanks to Sterling Bennett and everybody in our San Francisco studios, cutting the highlights and getting everything together. Wonderful, wonderful job. I'm John Dickinson. I'm back with you on Thursday as I will be in Denver for the weekend, games 3 and 4. Good to be back on the road covering this team. It's going to be a lot of fun. Be my first time since the finals in 2019 doing that. But I'm in it for the duration, looking forward to it. Also, keep an eye out for the Warriors Weekly podcast, myself and Matt Steinmetz. We're going to hook up for that one tomorrow morning. It should be dropping right around 11:30 or so, sometime in the 11 o'clock hour. And you can get that on the Odyssey app and 95.7 The Game, and we'll go ahead and tweet that out as well. So that'll do it. We'll talk to you Thursday, 5:30 for Warriors Live. That'll be Damon and Ratto, and then I'll have Warriors wrap up after the ball game from Ball Arena in Denver. Till then, keep it locked right here on your home for Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.